Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa. And I give a shit. Okay, before we get started, I just got to put this out there. Well, first of all, thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. It's the greatest radio station in the world. I've listened to all of them, and it really is. And all the radio stations. And also, go to our website, radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate, and donate some money, because this is nonprofit media. You want to support this. This is important shit, man. So anyway, a little note. So today's a little different because I'm recording this in a different studio on a Sunday with one of my fellow colleagues, hosts at Radio Free Brooklyn, Erin Levine.
Hello.
And Erin is the host of Gameplay, which I'm actually going to be on later. Tell us a few sentences about the show.
Sure. Gameplay is basically a show at 2 p.m. on Sundays where I play a whole bunch of different Dungeons & Dragons and other role-playing games. I essentially lead people in telling a story and rolling some dice. It's like gambling, but for nerds.
It's a great show. It's Sundays 2 to 3 p.m. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Erin and I were talking at one of our Radio Free Brooklyn mixers, which you should come to at the first Sunday of every month, 4 to 6 at 100 Bogart. And Erin, who's one of my favorite colleague hosts here, and I started having a deep discussion about that she had recently started therapy, and that her issue is she's a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
And you were having, you know, you'd had a depressive episode and that it sort of brought you into therapy. Is that right? Am I saying everything right?
Yeah, that's about right, I guess. Yeah.
And so anyway, before we got on the air today, I got a quick rundown of Erin's background, which I think is sort of helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell it. Let's see if we can make the high points.
Okay.
In kind of a quick way so that you know where we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Erin is going to be 27 in November. She's the youngest of three kids. Her brother is kind of starting a nonprofit, kind of an entrepreneurial type guy, maybe?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then your sister is like, fuck me. She's like a writer in the writer's room at Better Call Saul. And her older brother's 31. Her older sister's 29. Like I said, she's going to be 27 in November.
The baby.
And Erin works at a... explain it. You work a publishing company.
Right. I work in children's book publishing. I'm like an editorial assistant, fairly low down the totem pole, but I basically help with the publishing of children's books.
And Erin is like... on our management board, and she is incredibly smart and well-respected here. I will just put that right out there out front. That's really easy to say.
Well, thank you.
And her parents, they've been together...
so many years.
Like, did they meet in college or something?
High school. Actually, yeah.
So neither of them have ever had to go through any kind of dating or... being on their own or getting kicked out of their boyfriend's apartment.
Yep,
I mean, the shit that we've gone through, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're young. I hope you don't go through what I went through. I met my husband when I was 42. Never mind. So I hope you get
Different
there
story.
Sooner. I hope you get there sooner than I did, Erin.
I certainly
that's
hope
all.
So as well. I appreciate it.
I bet
it.
You will.
Yeah.
You're a lot more well-adjusted than I. So anyway, but it sounds like, Erin, your family, your father is like... just like a rock star business guy, right? What does he do?
He's a doctor. So,
but no, it's a lot more than that.
Well, he's a doctor who like studies like sports physiology and cardiology, and he is very. I don't know. He's successful. He runs his own like research facility where he does
like,
a lot of research on a whole bunch of different stuff.
He's an expert that travels around the world, right?
Yeah, he travels a lot for like conferences, et cetera.
He's an expert in sports medicine. That's a big deal. That's
yep.
a big deal. I bet
Smart
you guys
dude.
Had food on the table every single night.
Yeah? No, that's
yeah?
true.
Did you ever not get a pair of shoes you wanted? Oh, yeah.
No, we were pretty spoiled.
You were? Oh, shit. Well, you've handled it well. You don't seem like it.
We try. We try not to
yeah,
to
that's
let it,
good. That's yeah. good. And mom was really a stay-at-home mom.
She was. Mm-hmm. She was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so we have a really, really powerful guy. See, I think this is key. You have a really, really, really successful guy and a stay-at-home mom, so they must have developed this relationship with a really take-charge guy and mom, stay-at-home mom. Like, that's all they've ever known, and that's the environment. So anyway, kick his ass. I'm horrible. I mean, I wouldn't know. I grew up in like
kick
a really
my father's ass.
I'm always, I'm always like, whatever. Don't get me started on the patriarchy. I'm trying to. I'm doing some counter transference, trying to put out where I'm coming from. But anyway, so people pleasing. Why don't you explain to us what that means to you, Erin?
Okay, people pleasing. People pleasing for me, and something I've been really like thinking about lately, it means like, it means putting other people's needs and requirements for being around people before yourself. It means paying attention and basically adjusting the way that you behave based on the way that other people are around you and expect things of you. It's making sure that everyone else is happy and defining yourself based on how happy other people are with you.
Mm-hmm. And how well you're doing in their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And what are the that sounds horrible, and you're a young person. This you're going to get over this. I have no doubt, but
I hope so.
Oh, yes. But what are the consequences for you? Like, that sounds bad, but what in your life, like what are the why don't you want to do that, or what's wrong
what's
in your
wrong?
Life with
well,
that?
I mean, I think, and I'm still trying to figure this out, but I think part of the thing that makes people pleasing difficult for me is that I do it all of the time. So when there's something that I'm maybe interested in doing otherwise, or there's something that I want to do that my friends maybe clearly don't, it immediately sets me on like a guilt and anxiety spiral, essentially, where I really worry about, oh my God, they don't want to do this thing. Like, does that mean that they don't like me as a person? Like, is this terrible? And then also if there's something that I want to do that is maybe not involving other people, it's like, oh my God, if I do this thing, will they not like me anymore? Like, is this like really like the best thing to do? What if I end up in a place where I've made this choice and then I'm, alone without anybody to support me and that sort of stuff? It spirals very quickly.
Right. So there's a self-esteem issue behind all this.
Sure, sure.
And also, it's also sounding like it's hard for you to know what you want to do because you're so focused. Like, is it keeping you from being in touch with who you are, with yourself?
Probably.
You haven't even noticed. You haven't thought about that. Gotten there yet.
I haven't even thought about it. I mean, honestly, part of, like, I have a lot of issues actually describing to people what I want from things. Like, I'll kind of know what I don't want, but I'm really bad at asking for things that I do because I just don't, I don't know. I either don't do it or I just do it on my own without, as long as it doesn't bother anyone, I'll do it. But I usually, like, I don't know how to really elaborate on that to other people. Mm-hmm.
And do you have goals? Is there something like, do you have a big picture goal right now?
Yeah. Well, I have many big picture goals.
But it isn't like you're like, this is exactly what I want. I'm going to go do this.
Well, I mean, I have ideas of things that I want to do, but I question it so aggressively because I'm like, well, it's like huge questions about whether or not this is like productive. And then I worry about how.
Can you give us one example?
Okay. Sure. So we'll give you like a more fun example.
yeah, make it entertaining for God's sakes.
I know. That's why I'm on air. I've been really interested in writing. Like, I have this job in publishing, but I don't know if I'm even I'm not sure if I'm the kind of person who really enjoys like a 9-to-5 office job, because that is what it is. I mean, people glorify it as something where you're reading all day, but in honesty, I spend most of my day waiting for my bosses to need something from me, you know, filling out forms to process like money requests, you know, doing research for things. It's a grind. It's a young person's job in publishing.
That doesn't even pay that well.
No, it pays terribly.
Yeah, because it's in publishing. But the people are always nice.
Yes, I love the people that I work with. I love them very much. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
But so I have this job, and I keep thinking about the fact that like I went to school and I studied creative writing, and I keep talking about how I would love to just, instead of having this job, just spending my days like writing and being a successful book writer instead
novelist.
Of a book publisher, a novelist. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think about that, and I think about, well, like, I can't just quit my job and write, because then I need to be, one, making money, and two, like, what would that do with, you know, the way that people saw the way that I live my life. And
who are those people? Mom and dad?
You know,
family? Like, who are those people?
Right. I mean, I guess it's my family members. It's my friends that I'm currently with. Like, I had a friend recently who was talking about a girl who recently quit her job at her publishing company, because for some reason, all of my friends in New York are book publishing people.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how her colleague quit and she was going to become, for the time being, a nanny, which honestly makes more money than we do. But she was like, where do you even go from there? Like, I don't understand how she can make that decision. Like, that's what she said. And I was like, well, she made that decision. Mm-hmm. But I heard that and I was like, you're really judging this person for trying to live a different lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I think I took it a little bit more personally than she expected with my surprising defense of her, because I was like, well, hey, like, I've thought of other ways to live too. Like, is that so bad? I don't know.
But your friend looked, what do you think, how do you imagine, like, if you did that, what would your parents and your sister and brother say? What if you did that? What do you think, you know?
I mean, I think that they would say they were very supportive. And I think I'd believe them, but I would feel like if I didn't get results quickly, that I would feel like I was wasting everyone's time and money, basically.
Because do they help, like my parents?
Yes.
My middle class parents help me out because New York's too expensive. So you're getting some money from them, right?
I'm getting some support. I mean, I am trying to support myself as much as possible.
Yeah, you're doing everything you can, but
yeah.
That's just part of the deal.
Yeah, it's just
right?
kind of how it goes.
Yeah, because you should have food on the table.
Right. I should have food on the table.
I know you're not living an extravagant lifestyle.
No, so. I mean, but though, of course, like, I mean, I even daydream, like, I live with the two other people. Like, I daydream about living in an apartment by myself and adopting a cat. Like, all of this, like, I have these, like, dreams to do this stuff. And, I mean, I could do it, but that is, like, partly another thing of worrying, like, what will my friends think when I move out? Like, what if, you know, people judge me for using the funds that I do have to do this? Like,
So you could actually, I mean, I don't think that's a bit, I see people in the art world, so don't talk to me about being spoiled or privileged. Whatever your parents are offering you, I've seen way, way more than that.
Okay.
But like, I mean, you could probably have your own apartment, like a crappy apartment with a cat, right?
Probably.
If you wanted to,
yeah.
it wouldn't be a big deal.
Right.
But you won't do it because you're afraid people are going to think you're spoiled or jealous, or will they be jealous?
Maybe. Like, I'm not sure if jealous, but I worry that they'll either think that I'm, you know, either think that I'm like, oh, she's so privileged, or also, which, I mean, is a terrible thing to have to worry about, but is something I do. Or, you know, I worry about the fact that, like, these are, like, they're my priority friends that I have. I worry that moving out will make us, like, will, like, fracture our friendship in a way.
So it sounds like also that you have some friendships that you that you worry about whether they're really loyal, whether they're gonna, you don't feel, yeah. It doesn't sound like you feel confident in your friendships. I've been there. What's that about? Are you thinking of like two, three women in particular, or?
Sure. I mean, I have a whole little small community of like four people who live in my neighborhood who are all in book publishing. And,
and you guys hang out.
We do.
Is there a hierarchy in that group? Like all girl girl social groups?
I'm not sure if there's a hierarchy per se, but I think that, it used to be just three of us, and then one of them moved out to live with her fiance. And when she moved out, it was like it kind of changed the dynamic as a whole. Like, I think she was a person who was really holding everyone together. And then when she kind of backed away, it kind of changed a lot of stuff.
In what way?
Well, it felt like it feels like we are a lot less supportive of each other. Like we're all struggling in different ways right now. But none of us seem to, it feels like none of us are actually helping each other. It feels like
it's not as productive as it could be.
No, it feels like we could be, but instead we're just kind of hanging around.
So that's interesting. Right? So those are relationships that, you know, I'm glad to hear you say that. I mean, I'm not saying you should do anything. I'm not
sure,
but you're aware of it.
It's been a process of trying to acknowledge the fact that these are people that I desperately want to be friends with and want to be close to. I want to please them. And I really want to like develop those connections and that support, that unconditional support, but it's just not happening.
But somehow you feel like you need them. Does that, like, knowing that your friends make you feel like, well, does that shine a positive light on you? Does that make you feel better? Like, oh, well, I have these friends. They're cool. They're great. Look at me. I have friends.
Well,
does it help like that?
I mean, they used to a while ago, like when I thought the friendships were really like solid and I could really trust them. But I don't know if I can right now.
Before we dive into that, first of all,
how much time do we have?
Yeah.
We have,
it says 11:54.
Right, it says 11:54. So we started at 11:37, so we're going to 12:37. So we have about 40.
I just didn't get started at the right time. 12:37
So we have about 40 minutes left.
Okay, cool. Great. Yeah. I just wanted to, when I look at it, I know.
Right. No pressure.
We have this huge screen clock in here, so I got to keep an eye on it because I got to make sure I get everything in here in a certain amount of time.
Yeah, I know. I'm all over the place today. I apologize.
I want to try to understand where this people-pleasing comes from in your background. So,
sure.
I thought that it would be good to talk about like how you, okay, so I'm making these big assumptions, and you tell me. I'm just going to put it out there, my assumptions. My assumption is that you're the youngest of three in a very, very, very high-achieving family where your father, the male, is dominant, I would guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense. And so I'm wondering if, like, the combination of your mom taking care of everybody and not, did she put herself first?
She is now. I think with her kids out of the house, she's putting herself first now, but I'm not sure she did when.
Do you think she's changed since you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
For the better.
Yeah, so she's more, she seems more independent or more like self.
Yeah, I think so.
Self, but when you were growing up, she was there to. Three kids is a lot.
Three kids is a lot, and she did a great job.
Like
managing everything. She was there for us. Like, I think her life was us, and she did a wonderful job. I love my mother.
Obviously,
but yeah,
she got three happening kids. Are you kidding me?
Right, who were absolutely everywhere. So
yeah, and So she had a lot going on, but still she was the support team.
Yeah.
And your father was really busy. He must have, she must have, I mean, I've taken, I used to take my husband's shirts to the dry cleaners, that kind of shit, right? Mm-hmm. Did she do, she had to do all that, right?
She did.
Yeah. 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 Support staff. She was kind of a support staff. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, I mean, she did a great job.
She has great relationships with three amazing young people.
She did, yes. And I mean, she, it's not like she started there. She also like got her own doctorate in higher education,
really?
Too. Yeah.
So she's a PhD?
She has a PhD.
Wow. Did she ever work
at that? Briefly, maybe, but for the most part, she focused on taking care of us, and then since then has been working on kind of her writing since then.
Mm-hmm. So. Now that she has time.
Right.
So here's what I'm saying. I'm like wondering, I'm seeing like maybe the role of your mother combined with you being the youngest might have led you to a more people-pleasing dynamic. Just based on that, does that make any sense to you?
Based on how my mother was?
Well, the combination of being the youngest, so everybody's better than you. It's a really high achieving family. Everybody is competitive, and they're all like killing it, and they probably all did well in school and shit.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, and so like you're 3 years younger than, you know, your sister and 5 years younger than, that's a lot. Like there's no way you can run as fast as them or do the math they can do. You're way behind the curveball competing with them just because it's 3 to 5 years growing up, right?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
I definitely tried though. I definitely tried to keep up.
You were competitive,
sure.
But you couldn't do it.
No.
And then, you know, did your mom wind up sort of maybe sort of looking out for you a little more than the others because you were the youngest and you were sort of ditched sometimes? Do you think that happened?
I mean, it's possible. Like, it's at the very least, like, there was basically from sophomore year to senior year of college, I was basically an only child because both of my siblings were out of the house in college. So, I mean, I definitely had that experience. So I had that kind of relationship with my mother as well. Mm-hmm. But it's possible that she also paid more attention, I guess.
But do you feel like you count on her in a certain way than your older brother's married, right?
Yes, yeah.
And you're the middle child, your sister, is living in L.A. Does she have a boyfriend or partner?
She does, yeah. She has a partner. They've been together for like a year and a half. Really great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course.
I feel that way about my stepson and his wife. Their relationship is so much better than mine.
I know. I'm a little jealous.
I'm a little jealous.
But of course, she also she spent 4 years in a not great relationship before she started this one. Mm-hmm. So,
and
I mean,
have
it's
you
a long
had
time
a partner?
Coming. Actually, no, I haven't.
You haven't had a boyfriend?
No, never happened.
Well, what do you think about that?
What do I think about that? I think that...
guys are idiots. You guys are fucking morons.
Yeah, I think
you don't know Erin Levine. She is amazing and gorgeous and fabulous. You guys are fucking idiots. Okay,
yeah, listen
ahead.
To my show. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I never really met anyone that I was like, yes. And the people that I did have crushes on, unfortunately, which seems to be the case with a lot of... people my age, unfortunately, the people that I had crushes on were people who were gay, turned out to be gay or in the closet gay. Yeah,
so that's a pattern for you.
It was less so now,
but you had that pattern.
I had that pattern.
That's
for
interesting.
Sure. So that was definitely a thing for me. And also, I always got. Talk about people pleasing. I always got a lot of anxiety because I've been on dates.
I have no doubt. I don't think that's a problem.
Sure. But I've had a lot of anxiety on dates worrying about their expectations of me on the dates. Mm-hmm. So I'll like go on these dates and I'll be like, oh God, like I can tell that they want to kiss me right now, but I don't really want to. But they're like, I can feel this energy and it really makes me really anxious because I don't want to do this. And then, oh God, they're going in for it. And then I'm like, I'm not really into it, but okay, I guess I'll have this one kiss. And then I'm going to go and never do this again because that was terrible. So that has happened to me several times. So I think I freak myself out worrying about like what they're asking for from me and how I don't know if I am willing to give it to them.
Right. So maybe you don't feel safe with yourself on a date because you're afraid you're not going to be able to protect yourself when you need to.
Maybe I feel like I'm so eager to please that it makes it really hard for me to know that I'm going to say no mm-hmm. when I don't want to do something.
So I theorized why I thought you might have grown up with a people pleasing thing. So, ooh. But why don't we? Which I just told you.
Yes,
but
you did.
So let's dive into that. So yeah. what's your feeling about it? Like, where do you think the people pleasing comes from? I think it's I'm going to say this. I think it's like deep in there. I think it's from like your early days.
Sure. I mean. So you're saying that you think it's from like my family and
yeah, I think
trying to keep up with my
absolutely.
Family.
Absolutely. Or some sort of yeah. family dynamic. I don't know what it is. Maybe. I told you what I thought it could
right.
be, but like, so where do you think you're also like, can I just tell you this guys?
Ooh.
Erin is starting to feel, I'm getting the vibe from her looking at her that this is making her really anxious because I think she's feeling pressured that she has to deliver. Do you feel like you better like fucking come through now or you're feeling pressure, aren't you?
Well, you
which
know.
Which is great. It's transference.
I guess
transferring.
So. Yeah, I guess I get,
she
you know.
She has to agree.
I have to agree, right? I mean, I'm on the radio.
No, because you're a people pleaser.
I'm such a people pleaser. I also get very anxious, obviously, like revealing faults about myself because it shows people that I am not perfect and makes it easier for them to maybe not like see me in a darker light than I want them to.
Vulnerability. You're having a really hard time
yeah,
with the vulnerability.
I am. It's a thing.
You know, I keep thinking you'd be great in a group therapy situation.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I need like the section I need is a place where I can really feel comfortable finding a way to express myself and then being able to accurately tell it to other people when I'm ready, not when I feel like I have to.
Right. What I was going to say is that I learned this in group therapy, and I think, you know, eventually you will,
yeah.
you know, I'm sure. But if you express, like if I tell you right now, you know, I'm afraid I'm a shitty host and I'm not doing, you know, like I'm like yeah. sucking or something. Like, don't you feel like, oh, Lisa doesn't think she's on top of things. Don't you feel like closer? You feel closer to people when they make themselves vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean,
right? Aren't you kind of relieved when somebody else makes themselves vulnerable to you?
I mean, 100%.
Right? And don't you kind of like them more?
A little bit, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, oh, wow, they're being like real with me right now. They're
right.
being honest, yeah.
Right. But that's really brave and cool that you can even identify that. That's huge.
That I can identify that vulnerability.
That you don't like being vulnerable.
Yeah.
So what do you think, that was there vulnerability in your family or was everybody just like on top of it all the time competing and hiding or what?
I feel like there was vulnerability, but it was in small pieces and it's not like in front of everybody at once. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I feel like my mother got a lot of the issues that we were dealing with for sure. Cause we'd come home from school. She'd say, how was your day? And we'd, because she was always available and like always was asking, like we always, I think all three of us felt very comfortable sharing our issues with her.
So you were vulnerable with her.
Oh, all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Still all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm not sure amongst each other. Like I don't think any of us like shared with each other the way we shared with my mother. My brother and sister might have with each other a little bit, but I was also always kind of like in my head, you know, as someone who likes playing creating stories on the radio, like I kind of kept myself company a little bit.
So, but I also think that maybe your mother was really satisfying as somebody to express yourself to and be close to him. Maybe it made you, you know, which is great,
yeah.
But maybe you didn't feel like you needed to like spill to other people.
Maybe not.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, I don't require a lot of people. I like, if I have like a couple that I'm like, oh, I can just 100% be myself around you, then I don't really, like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really care as much about.
You don't like.
I don't feel a desperate need to like be around people all of the time. Yeah.
Right. So I'm wondering. Okay, so it's sounding like I'm trying to imagine all this. So it's kind of, I'm trying to put this together in my head. It sounds like maybe growing up, you didn't really worry about being judged because your mom knew who you were and everything was cool.
Kind of, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, also in high school, I had an insanely close group of friends. I'm actually still close to several of them today, like at friends who I've known for 12 years now, who are like the best people that I know.
So perhaps then you grew up a little bit in a protective bubble?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In that way? I mean, of your own making, because you're capable of having close, solid relationships,
yeah,
which is a really good thing, and that you probably know exactly how to have a good relationship because, I mean, your mom knew how to accept you and trust you and give you confidence in that way.
Yeah, sure.
So did anything happen? Like when you worry about being criticized, right?
Oh, yeah.
So where does that come from, do you think?
Worry about being criticized?
Yeah.
God, I don't know.
Well, it's not from your mom.
No. I mean, it's probably like if we're sticking with the family theory, it's probably from like everybody else.
Like, what do you mean?
I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily like my siblings per se, but you know, like my parents always had this expectation that I would be successful. And you know, like get straight A's, you know, like my father used to joke, you know, we'd get like a 98 out of 100 on a test, and he'd joke, he'd be like, where are those 2%, you know, where's those 2 points? And we'd always be like, oh, stop it. But you know, it still does something. Also with extended family, I never really felt like I had an emotional connection with them. And it always felt like they had these expectations of me to be a certain way that I always didn't like that. I never liked that.
So when you say extended family, were there like get-togethers, regular get-togethers with a larger group of family members?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you were just good girl Erin or something?
Yeah, I have a lot of family on both sides. And I'm like the youngest in the family on my mother's side and close to youngest on the other side. And I remember there was this period of time where I was very young and I had chubby cheeks as a little baby, and everyone would be like, oh my God, Erin, you're so cute, and like pinching my cheeks, and I'd just be like, no, like get away, because it really freaked me out.
Oh, I can understand that.
Yeah, this like need to like entertain people, like these relatives who I meet maybe once or twice a year, who are like, you are going to be cute now. And I'm like,
So, yeah.
It's possible that, you know, I've still felt that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you were maybe the host a little bit?
I mean, I don't know if I ever was successfully a host. Maybe they wanted me to be, but like, I would always kind of like,
You lived up to their expectations. You didn't want them to. Did you ever go through a rebellious phase?
Not really.
Like,
actually,
like fuck you guys. You and your you know, high achieving shit and all this stuff. And I'm just gonna like do it my way.
Honestly, No, I never went through that. I mean, the closest I got was I listened to like Green Day in middle school. And because my middle school, I was in public school in middle school, and I didn't like the classes were too easy for me. Mm-hmm. I would be like, I thought I was so rebellious sitting like in the back of class reading fantasy novels. Mm-hmm. Like that was as rebellious as I ever got as a teenager.
But like in high school, nothing like that.
No.
Did your brother or sister go through a rebellious phase?
I think my sister for sure.
Yeah, she sounds like she did.
Yeah, she did for sure. She was fairly unhappy in high school for a number of different reasons. Uh-huh. She just didn't have a good friend group and a lot of
Your
other stuff.
Your parents
happens.
Were worried about her, I bet.
They were. But yeah, of course, because my, right.
That's just normal.
That's family.
It wasn't perfect. Everything wasn't perfect all the time. Wow.
I know. Shock.
And what about your older brother?
So my brother, he was bullied in middle school. And when he got to a different, my parents moved him to a different school for high school. And I think he was just a lot happier, not being bullied or whatever. And, he's always been a bit of a goob. I don't think he had much of a rebellious phase. I think maybe he did a little bit in college, cause he got into like a fraternity and kind of had that culture a little bit, but I don't think he ever did that at home.
Mm-hmm. But he probably didn't have the need to. He got settled pretty quickly, and he sounds like he knows what he...
Right.
Maybe he's simpler than his younger sister. It's possible. He's a guy. Maybe a little bit.
I know he also has his own anxieties. Like, he used to live in New York City. He just moved recently. But we would talk a lot about his, like, worries about things. I think he's a guy who is saddled with a lot of anxiety himself.
Right.
But he, you know...
Yeah.
He's doing fine. He's fine. In my opinion.
Fine.
Yeah.
So you never really had any, like, it's interesting because I think rebellion happens like in high school and college commonly.
Yeah.
But you had a really healthy, well-adjusted, it sounds like, experience in those and in college too?
Actually, college was actually probably the hardest part for me.
What happened there?
Well, I had to transfer halfway through.
Twofold.
One, because they didn't have the classes that I wanted. Like, they just didn't have the perfect writing programs and things. I wasn't happy. But also, I just wasn't happy with the people.
What was wrong with the people?
I didn't feel like I didn't have people that I felt comfortable being myself with. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a group, and it wasn't always bad. Like, they were good people, but it felt like they were so obsessed with themselves and building themselves up in this way.
What school was that?
This was University of Miami.
Mm-hmm. And so where'd you transfer?
Emory University in Georgia.
And did you feel better there?
You know, I did. And even though I was like halfway through and was fairly, I liked it. Like, everyone had friend groups already. Like, I maybe have like one friend I keep in touch with from all 4 years, but I was a lot happier at the second school.
It's funny. You look at social situations as friend groups, which is interesting. Do you know that? And I'm not making any judgment at all, but it sounds like in high school you had a friend group and that was like a really great example of how to get through life, which it is.
Right.
It's just really hard to orchestrate. I feel like if I have one person I can fucking trust, I'm good. No, you know what I mean? Especially when people get out in the world and they have, you know, they're competitive and worried about earning a living and you're making more money and you have a bigger,
blah, blah, blah. It's so much harder to make friends now. It's incredible.
Well, to make those friends.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, you can't really trust people the way that we would like to. Do you think that's part of the issue?
Me not trusting people?
It's smart to trust people.
You don't think it's smart to trust people?
Anyone until they fucking prove it. Like, do you think me? Like, what I'm thinking is you're a little disappointed in those girls
who are in my neighborhood now.
Yeah, because you might have trusted them. Like, you would like to trust them.
Yeah,
but I think I've learned over the years that you have to know who somebody is and trust them in the way that you can trust them. You have to decide. We have to decide. Like, who's trustworthy in what way. Like,
right.
Like, there are people who are consistently late. Well, it's not that they're going to lie to you. It's just that you can't trust them to be on time. Doesn't mean you don't like them. Not like you're, but you have to, like, be honest about who they are.
Right. You have to meet them where they are.
Yeah. Is that hard for you? Is that disappointing?
It is disappointing. You know, it's something where I feel like I meet people where they are all of the time. Like, as part of the people-pleasing thing, I try to fit myself into their spaces. But I feel like people don't try to fit they don't try to fit into my space.
Yeah. Yes. So you're expecting something from them.
Yeah.
Forget it. That's crazy. That's really? Crazy. You expect things from other people?
I do. Like, oh, so forget sue me. It. I want people to be considerate.
Forget it. What planet are you on? People are horrible.
I know. Well, I mean, I wish they weren't, you know? I mean, I know that's like wishful thinking or whatever, but I mean, I've dealt with this too. Like, I've struggled with the idea that, like, especially in New York City, where everyone's perspective is to get ahead, get yourself ahead. Like, don't worry about other people, take care of yourself. And I get that, but that also fucking sucks because, like, we could do so much more, so many more amazing things if we took care of each other.
I don't agree. Do that. Yeah. Hello. Okay. So here's the thing, though. It sounds to me like you're living in the world of, I'm going to treat you the way I'd like to be treated.
Yeah.
And I'm going to treat you really, really well. And I'm hoping that you're going to treat me that way back. But like, there's no deal, like, no one is going to make that deal. So what happens is you wind up going way out of your way for people who are never going to reciprocate. Like, they don't know how to. They don't even have the... and if you're talking about guys, they're the worst. I still don't expect my husband to like, show up when he says he's going to.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. Maybe that's why I haven't had a good relationship, because I expect too much.
Well,
which is just terrible.
Yeah, it seems really sad. What I said is going to make you cry or something, which
no,
I don't blame.
I'm
is
not
that
close
hard
to
hear, or you know this? You know
I mean,
this.
I've already cried about this in therapy like a couple weeks ago. So it's something that I'm dealing with, and it does make me sad. But it's a sadness that I'm trying to confront, and one that I'm not going to cry on right now.
Oh, okay. We don't care. There's no video. We can't see.
Oh,
but,
I know.
But here's the thing. Look at it this way. If I'm saying to you, you have all the freedom to treat people exactly how you want to treat them. Assume you're not getting. They are not going to do anything, or they are only going to disappoint you. Then you are free to not show up on time, or cancel at the last minute, or forget that your friend is having a, you know, you're never going to be like not a great friend, but I mean, you don't have to be the A friend. I mean, there, you know, like cancel what kinds of things, name something that you've made yourself do recently that you kind of didn't feel like doing for a friend. Cooking them breakfast and then helping them move. I'm going to ask you the next time I need a favor. You're first on my list, honey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to say yes, because that's just what I do for everything. Things that I've done
recently. Tell us something that like makes you angry when you think back on it. If you let yourself be angry at this person, tell me about one of those girls in the group that pissed you off.
Okay. Well, so interestingly, I think the kindest things I do for my friends is I forgive them for things. So one of my friends who I live with is I am the cleanest person in the apartment, and I don't want to be. Like, I don't want this to be the life that I live in, but I live around people's messes. Like, both of my friends, like, dishes in the sink left for like weeks at a time. I'm the one who usually takes out the trash. Like, we have a cleaning schedule. We don't keep to it. Like, I'm walking on crumbs all the time. It's a mess. But I asked once. I was like, hey, could we, you know, I asked once. I said, can we stick to a rule where we keep dishes clean out of the sink. Don't leave them in there for longer than a week. I gave them a week.
Wow.
And
I'm
then,
moving in with you.
I know, right? But then they, like, still, even so, like, people have left stuff in there and I've just started cleaning the dishes instead. Mm. It's not good. It's not. I shouldn't be doing
that. But you have the role in the household of the you know,
the enforcer.
Yes.
Right. Which I don't want to do either because right. that implies conflict.
Well, beyond that, they also, you basically, no matter what,
right.
they know eventually you're going to clean it.
Yep.
And because you can't live with it.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's take Erin into an alternative universe.
Ooh, I'm ready.
So Erin no longer gives a fuck about the apartment in general. Her room is fabulous, gorgeous. You don't need, you know, get a hot plate, eat in your room. I don't know. But you don't give a fuck anymore. You're totally free from that role.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Or why don't you want to do that? Because you don't want to live in a mess?
Because I don't want to live in that mess. I've tried before. The problem is that then I look at it and then the dishes I want are in the sink. And then if I want them, I have to clean them.
And do you express, you're angry about this. I'm angry about it for you, so it doesn't matter.
It.
But do you tell them you're angry? Do you let them know? Do you have
no.
an alternative system? I'm going to charge you $1 every time I wash your dishes.
No, I
have you
I don't.
Done anything about it?
I tried to ask them to clean once and haven't since then.
Well, aren't you pissed off? You're living
with
these people. You probably want to strangle. I want to strangle them.
Well, yeah, I am pissed off. But then at the same time, then I start finding other explanations for things. Like my one friend, she's like traveling and busy all the time. And her job, like her bosses are absolute shit to her. And then my other friend, like her aunt just died. And like she's been dealing with that. And she's very depressed and not really dealing with those emotions.
Okay,
and I'm
my
like,
mouth
well,
is dropping
so,
open, folks.
Yeah,
my
I
mouth
see that.
Is dropping open. So everybody's, you are like giving away your life to other people who don't even appreciate it. Like you can see how that's happening.
Yeah, I can. Unfortunately,
you can.
Yeah.
And not only that, there's a lot of anger there. And you're not expressing it. So you're kind of putting yourself in this really horrible box. But you have mm-hmm. the freedom and the power here.
I know. Yeah. I really need to just like.
But you don't have to change. You know what? You don't have to do anything. Here's the other thing. There's no pressure. I'm not judging you.
Sure.
I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not suggesting you change it. I'm just saying like. The first step would to be own it and say, like, this is what's happening. And to say, like, I'm furious and I'm going to wash these dishes. You know,
yeah.
let yourself be. Let, you know, just watch it. You don't have to fix it. You know what I mean? Like, you probably see if something's wrong, then you have to fix it.
Usually, yeah.
Like, there's something you're doing in your life that's not helpful to you. So you can't just do it if you don't change it. And you have to change it now. Forget about that. Don't fucking worry about it.
Hmm.
If I tell you to do that, you should be mad at me.
Okay.
Because who the fuck am I to tell you what to do?
Except Dr. Lisa, who gives a shit.
Well, I give a shit. I want the best for you, but I don't really know you. Mm. I mean, I don't really like know your roommates. I've never been to your apartment. We've had an intense conversation for, you know, an hour and a half before we got on, whatever.
Right.
I never met your parents. I never saw you on a date. I don't really like, I don't have enough information to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking that I know something. You're giving me all this authority for no reason. Well, a little bit. I'm not bad at this. I have experience, and I am a lot older. Counter transference, though, that's real transference. You're transferring that I'm the person that knows what's best for you.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I do that. That's true. Where I kind of expect other people to like tell me how to fix myself.
And then you wind up feeling bad that you aren't doing it because other people have pointed it out to you or helped you recognize it. And then that makes you feel worse because you realize you have a problem that you haven't fixed yet.
Yeah.
So it gets you in this like really sounds downward right. spiral, yeah. man. Well, you got to.
There you go.
So we have 10 minutes left, right?
We have about 10 minutes. Okay. Hopefully the guys who are supposed to come in 5 don't and are a little late.
I'll get rid of them. I'll yell at them. You won't.
No, why would I do that? Yeah.
Okay, so we have to figure out a plan for you.
Oh, God, please.
You know what? I just had this idea. Here's a good project for you, I Ooh, think.
Okay.
Okay. I think it's a writing project.
You know I like writing, so.
Okay. And if I tell you what to do, I think you might do it. I'll
Honestly?
Check it. I'm going to want to see
gonna
it.
You're going to check in? All right.
Yeah, I'm going to want to see it. So what I think starting out with your home situation is a good place to start because see, first of all, you live with friends, right?
Yeah.
Never live with friends. Never live with friends. Having roommates is a transactional relationship. You're sharing an apartment. If mm-hmm. you're friends, it's fucking complicated because you're much less likely to put the friendship on a, make waves in the friendship. If you didn't know these people and they weren't involved in your life and had no history with them, you'd be like, fucking clean the dishes. Because you wouldn't need them besides that that's their job.
Right.
So let's start at home. Let's make a note, hopefully once a day, every time you notice you're doing something, that you've either made, however it works for you, made an excuse for them, something that you're doing for them for whatever reason. Maybe they asked you a favor. Maybe maybe they really broke their leg and they're in the hospital. It doesn't matter. Whatever happened, whatever the circumstances are, you are doing something for them that you don't have to do, that's not required. I mean, you do have to pay the rent on time.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And you have to like do the minimum of whatever. But go by, I'm talking about the standards that they are holding themselves to. Mm. Hold yourself to the same standards. So in other words, maybe you're going to wash all the dishes, but write down that you did it and you didn't have to because that's not required. So I think the first step is on a very practical level, just to become aware of all the things you're doing that you don't have to do without any judgment. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I can try that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be hard for me to separate what I do and don't have to do.
Write it down. Then just write, you just say, maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Hmm.
And then we'll have another session on this. Want to do that? Like in a
sure.
month or so?
Sure, we can try that. Why not?
Yeah, I think that would be really good because I think you need something actionable. You need to take action.
I do.
Because you feel like you need to take action. You're an action person. But I mean, I don't think it seems like you give yourself excuses for things. Do you? Do you let yourself off the hook?
No, not really ever. Even in terms of like trying to figure out how to like quote unquote fix my life, I'm like, well, why aren't you doing something yet? It's very
right,
like
right,
that. Yeah,
right. So the first step is to not take any action and not put any pressure on yourself. Because once that you're going to have to, I think you're going to go through a rebellion. You got to go through a rebellion. The problem that happened to you is that you had a really nice life and then you got out in the world and people suck and they're disappointing and they're also really busy and it's really hard to lower your standards of other people because that's going to have to make you lower your standards for yourself. But I think if you can reframe it, you'll understand that it's not lowering your standards for yourself. That's, I think, what's going to happen there. It's my guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've given me a lot to think about.
Yeah. Just say no.
Just say no.
Have you thought about moving out of the living situation?
Like every other week.
maybe you should just take. Maybe you should just try it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Could you do that? Like, would your parents be like? Could you say like, I'm tired of living with these dirty people, and I want to get a cheap apartment?
Yeah, probably could.
Yeah, or maybe a roommate, one roommate that you never, that you don't really know, have or have no relationship with.
Yeah,
or,
I mean,
I think that might be a good. I think that might be something to think about. And I'm not telling you what to do at all, but I think it might be something to think about because it would change that dynamic in your life.
Right.
If you were on your own, at least. So you wouldn't be putting energy and distraction into your roommates. You're putting too much energy. Your roommates are taking your fucking chi.
They are a little bit.
And that would be a way to start that would make everything simpler, and then you could like at least have that for yourself. You need to have something for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think you're right. And it's not anything that I haven't thought of before. I do feel a little bit like I focus so much on those relationships, and if I had space to just do me, that maybe I wouldn't put so much pressure on whatever else they've got either. Like, if I can let them off the hook because they're not in my space, they're in whatever space I put them in.
Right. And I mean, let's be honest, in a certain way, you have had privilege. I hate that word, whatever. No one has privilege. I mean, people have certain kinds of privilege. No one gets out of here alive. But like the way you were brought up,
yeah,
allowed you not just, I mean, you weren't around people stressed out, like kids whose parents weren't home and couldn't make living and were, you know, so you grew up in a very, protected environment. There's nothing wrong with that. And you didn't choose it, and you're not going to have it. You don't have it anymore. But the thing is, what I'm saying is, that's part of who you are, and you might as well use the positive. So your parents can help you pay for an apartment. Mm. So you're taking a really hard way of transitioning into being kind of out in the world. Yeah. You're taking a really hard way, and you didn't have training for it. You're not trained. You don't have the skills, and I'm not going to. And I don't mean this in a bad way.
Okay.
You don't have. You didn't get the negotiating skills. You didn't need. You were lucky. You didn't need them to live with two normal 20-somethings. I couldn't. You know. I'm sure you wouldn't have wanted to live with me at that age either. Believe you me.
No, do you know what I'm saying? You seem pretty cool, Lisa.
Well, you don't know. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, and there's something to be said for not taking advantage of the tools that you do have. So I get that too, a little bit.
Yeah, take advantage of them. I mean, you're not asking for your parents, like, where you're not sitting around not working. You know, you're doing. You'll be a lot more productive if you get them out of your lives.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, it's very possible. So,
and I think it'll be a good transition for you. So we've got like, thank you for listening to we got like 30 seconds or something.
Like maybe 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Yeah, one and a half okay. Now. Yeah.
So but I'm feeling good. I feel like we got something done.
Yeah. What I think do you we think? Did too. I think this is helpful and encouraging for sure. And I'll have a lot to think about. So good. Thank
we'll
you
have
for
you
having
be-
me on.
We'll have to have a rematch.
Another one? Yeah. Perhaps so.
So thanks so much for listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm here every Thursday, 2 to 3. My good friend Aaron Levine is on Gameplay, and that's every Sunday, 2 to 3.
Check out the show page. Check out the episode page.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. The episode will be there. Mm-hmm. Stick around because we've got great programming this afternoon. We got Elon Danziger, Brooklyn Bandstand, and Ben Talks. So stick around. Yeah.